We're talking about Rebbe, and that Rebbe requires a Rosh Rabbi Mekureh, that it should be a cover Rosh Rabbi in order to be chayev when it goes through the Rosh cover Rosh Hayochid. This means in order to be chayev when it goes sails through the Rosh Hayochid and doesn't land. Okay, that's what Rebbe said. Now, Milsa the Rabbi Yochanan said from Mamish on the top of Samachem Rav. Milsa the Rabbi Yochanan, the words of Rabbi Yochanan Omar to indicate to us, Afilu Eina Makura, even if it's not so roofed over. Dom Rabbi Yamishem, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yamishem, Rabbi Yochanan. Now, this is not by us. This is not Aloch and Shabbos. Then this will be key in the Gemara later on. This is Aloch by Gittin. Bushateri Lavi Mechitos. Aloch is if you want to give your wife a get, but you don't want to hand the woman anything, right? So you toss it between her, the walls of her courtyard. Okay, so there, lichayra, once it goes into the walls of the courtyard, it's sufficient, even though the courtyard is not roofed over, right? Shusayachid, yes. According to Rabbi, we said before, it's not enough that it goes to Shusayachid, it's got to be roofed over. And here, Rabbi Yochum says it's enough that it just goes into the airspace between the walls. Rabbi. But that's what we're going to discuss, whether there's a distinction, a qualitative distinction between Shabbos and Gittin. Okay. Rabbi Ami, boy, come Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Ami, because Rabbi Yochanan, Masnis in the Rabbi. Our Mishnah, I'm sorry, not our Mishnah, the Mishnah in Gittin there, could be going like Rabbi. The Rabbi Ovid Avir Mechitzas Kimamoshon. Rabbi makes regards the walls of the airspace of the walls as if they are mamashus. Now, that's not like Rabbi over here. Rabbi over here said Rishus HaYachid must be Mekura. That was the bottom of Samach Dalam base. Rabbi Yechanan, in his discussion with Rabbi Ami, says the Gemara, clearly does not hold that way. Because Rabbi Yechanan, in the same name of Rabbi now, or interpreting Rabbi, that Avir Mechitzas Kimamashon, even the airspace without the roof, is considered ready to be in the airspace of Rishus HaYachid. So therefore, Rabbi Yechanan, the analysis of Rabbi does not agree with our analysis of Rabbi over here. Says Mer, no. Says Mer, Amar Le Divrei Akoli. No, there, by Gittin, it can be going like everybody. But Rabbi might require by Shabbos, Rishus HaYachid, Mekure, by Gittin, by not. V'yasivne. So we asked, Rabbi Omer Mekure, Vata Marta in Mekure. Hi, Rabbi said it has to be roofed over. You're saying it's not, it doesn't have to be roofed over. Mabe get Mabe Shabbos. So why, by get, should you not require roofed over? Says the Gemara, Mamish Reb Chaim de Kechilok. This could have said in Brisk. Rabbi Ila, it said, Shabbos ksiv lo sase ko meloche. It says, by Shabbos don't do any meloche. V'nasi simi elea. Here, if it falls within the airspace, says Rabbi, that doesn't suffice. Because what does it say? Don't do any melacha. What does do any melacha mean? Don't, in terms of Torah, don't do akira, don't do anocha. If it's in the airspace, is that considered munach? That might be considered munach, but it's not that you did the anocha. You see that? Lo saseh, you need an asiya. What's an asiya of hanocha? What is it doing? An act of hanocha? Only when it gets to the ground. Not in airspace. By Gittin, that's not required. By Ramoche, Atayra Omer, by Gittin, the Torah says, V'nasan biyoda. Biyoda means, as Chazal expanded, Birshusa. In her domain. So therefore, by the way, Lieberman, he wanted to show that he was still a Lamdan, I guess. But he explains this whole shtickle in great length, a very nice explanation, basically what I'm just telling you, essentially. That by Shabbos, it says, Lo sasa ko melocha. Lo sasa ko melocha means you gotta do it. Doing it means not just against the airspace, even though you consider that to be the way Lieberman puts it. He says, very beautiful, mashal. He says, is the principle which says that within the airspace of Shabbos, within the airspace of walls, it's considered to be as if it's on the ground. He says, listen, Klutz Kamishun Chadami calls a Geder Mishpati, a halachic principle. And he gives an example. He says, let's say that you build an Eruv or house using principles of good asik. Now, without the good asik, it wouldn't be considered a binyan. Could that be considered bona on Shabbos? Right? Could that be considered bona? No. Says, of course not. Says, because bone and I might be also the Rabbana. But it can't be so derived because you can't build a house out of good asik and consider that to be bone and Shabbos. In order to be bone and Shabbos, you have to actually build a permanent, real structure. Right? Do you see what he's saying? I see it not getting across properly. Right, a theoretical construct, right. So a theoretical construct can't be mechayev you on Shabbos. If you built a house out of good asset, that's not going to be baina. If you built, let's say, give you a wild example. If something became isra noah on Shabbos, right? You made something osir by noah somehow. So are you chayev because of mavir, because of kitute mechta chure, since it's already, as if it's already burnt, as if you burnt it, and therefore you're chayev because you burnt something on Shabbos? Of course not, right? Even though halachically we look at any isra noah as if it's burnt to a crisp, of course it's not that you actually burnt it, and therefore you can't be chayev for sreifa on Shabbos, burning something for mavir, for burning on Shabbos. In order to be chayev on Shabbos, you have to actually do a malacha, not have the theoretical construct achieve the malacha for you. So therefore, kluta k'mishun chadamya is fine when it comes, that which is within the walls, if it's on the ground. That's fine when we come to gittin, because by gittin, we're talking with kinyonim. The whole concept of a kin is a theoretical construct, right? The whole essence, the concept of ownership is a theoretical construct. It's not a tangible. So therefore, by gittin, we employ the theoretical construct of klutuk mishun chadamya in order to say that the kin has been accomplished. By Shabbos, there are no theoretical constructs. Shabbos, tangible malacha lo saseh. Don't accomplish a lamdisha malacha. Don't do a malacha. So that means you have to make mamish akir and mamish anacha.
But you with your hand threw it into the.
That's why when it lands on the ground, then it's munach. Or within three tefachim of the ground, because lavud is also considered the ground. But not when it's above three tefachim. Then we don't say klutuk mishun chadamya. That's what he wants to tie up. So nice for him. That's how he explains to Yushami. It sounds very beautiful. It sounds perhaps more beautiful than it actually is, because, as you almost pointed out just now, but we do use the theoretical construct of love to say that kimunach dami, right? Because within three tefachim the ground, as if it's on the ground, right? So there are theoretical constructs which we do use in malacha. But that's, all right, well, one could do, draw a distinction. One could say love it to the ground is because anything within three tefachim of the ground is considered to be on the ground. Suppose when it's midair, there it's more of a theoretical construct, or something like that.
So before we get into the space, and it's more than three tefachim, and then the wind blows it out. So
it won't be, no, this is a bad get. It is a good get. Right, exactly, it is a good get. But by Shabbos, he'd be potter, right? That's exactly the point. Okay? You don't like lambdas.
I think it's unnecessary. Yeah. And therefore, when it goes into her chutzner, it's simply the halakhic principles where the theoretical or actual doesn't make a difference. They cause it for her.
Who's they? This has to be the raisa.
Yeah. So it means yad. But chutzner is mitam yad.
Okay.
If it's in her chutzner, it's in her yad. Simply put. So therefore, that's how you're satisfied by that. But by Shabbos, the issue is, it's always melachas machshavas. You
right.
have to intend and also do an action. You have to be the one to do it. So.
You're using half of what he said, not the other half.
Not the other half.
Yeah, you're using the half by Shabbos, not the half by Gittin. Right, by Gittin, you're saying just that there's a special, there's a custom, that there's an extension of your yad, which is your chatzer, which by Shabbos we don't have.
That's right.
Oh, that's possible. Okay, I'll accept that. Okay, Shmur Amar Lo Shonu El Lamata Me'asara. Now, Lamaisa, says Shmuel, that we say Klutuk Mishun Chadamya. Sorry. That which we say that your Chayev on Hoshata. On Moshit, remember Moshit is from like they did in the Midbar from one wagon to another wagon, so it's from one balcony to another balcony on the same side of Rishus or Rabin, right? So Shmuel says it's only Lamata Me'asara, it's only below 10 Tfachim. Holamala Me'asara Asur, but above 10 Tfachim it's Asur. Now Asur means the Rabbana, not the Raisa. Yeah, also means the Rabban are not the Raisa. Milsad Rabbi Lezer, Mar Bil Dukun Rabbi Lezer, however, I feel Malami Asara, even above 10th Vachim, it should be Plige, instead of Mutzer. There's a machlokas that Rabbi Akiva Chachamim have in our Mishnah, whether you're chai by Moshiach or not. The same machlokas apply even above 10 Tvachim. Dom Rabbi Lila B'Shem Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lila said name Rabbi Lezer, which is the real reason for Rabbi Lezer's statement. Ma'agolos Loma Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had this halacha from the wagons. Va'agolos Lazlo Ma'alam Yasar Inun. Weren't the wagons above 10 Tvachim in the midbar? We learn out from the wagons that the Levim extended beam to beam in the wagons in the midbar, and that was above 10 Tvachim. So that's why Rabbi Akiva holds that even above 10 Tvachim there's halacha moshit, not like Shmuel. So says Gemara, istani tani, there's some Tanoim who learned in the next Mishnah the word ketzad. Some east low tani ketzad. Look at the next Mishnah for a minute on the base. It says ketzad shnei gzuz tro zuk neged zu b'shus harabim. You have two balconies, one behind the other in b'shus harabim. So one across the street from the other from b'shus harabim. So then, if you extend from one to the other, you're potter. They're both on the same side of b'shus harabim, and you extend from one to the other, then you're chayev. Okay. Do you understand the case?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so says the Gemara. There's sometimes in the Mishnah is written for us where there's the word ketzad. There's sometimes we don't have the word ketzad. Al daitid Rabbi Lezer iskan ketzad. According to Rabbi Lezer, we do say ketzad. Why? Because these balconies are above 10 tefachim, right? Since they're above 10 tefachim, so we say ketzad. Why? Because this is the halacha moshit. This is the halacha moshit. We learn from Magolos, the even above 10 tefachim rechayev, right? So therefore, the next Mishnah, which is talking about above 10 tefachim, is an extension of the previous Mishnah, and there that's why it says Ketzad. It's an explanation. How does the first Mishnah work the way it's described in the second Mishnah? Al daiti de Shmuel, according to Shmuel, who doesn't learn from Magolos, leislei ketzad. Obviously, he can't learn out from the first Mishnah. This can't be Moshe. If it is anything, it's something else. But certainly not the principle of Moshe, because it's above 10 Tvachim. And Shmuel said, there ain't no Moshe above 10 Tvachim. Whatever the next Mishnah is, it ain't no extension of the previous Mishnah, which is talking about Moshe. Okay? So it wouldn't say ketzad, because it wouldn't be an expansion thereof. Okay? Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Elazar Shaul. He asked like this. Zark mi Rishus HaYachin Rishus HaRabim. You threw from Rishus HaYachin into Rishus HaRabim. Benizka Atshuv Rishus HaRabim. You remembered when it's Rishus HaRabim, but before it landed. When it's in mid, I remembered. Oy vey. This was Michal Shabbos. So what's the story? Al daiti to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, Yaseh kimi shenocha b'rishus harabim v'yei chayav, and the word shtayin, the carbonator, takes out. According to Rabbi Akiva, you should be chayav. Why is that? Because Rabbi Akiva is a mechayav you even above 10 tefachim, right? So it must be.
Just make sure that's right.
They said they had not been present when Rabbi gave a share on the last parent of the book. They wanted to find out what Rabbi said.
You should be chayev even though it's above 10 tefachim. I think that's it. I think it's still the case. I'm pretty sure that's the case. If I recall correctly,
I think that is it. Just let me check what the Moshe says here.
No, you're right. It's not. You're right. It's talking about the shadows like this. Remember when it's in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim. So Rabbi Akiva, it's cool to come Mishon Chadami. It's too late. It's below 10 Tvachim Dafka. It's specifically below 10 Tvachim. You threw it to Rishus HaYachid. You threw Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. Now it's below 10 Tvachim, which means it's in 10 Tvachim in the ground. And that's in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim. So Rabbi Akiva, tough luck. You're Chayav Chatas anyway. Why are you Chayav Chatas? Even though it didn't land, because Kluta Kamishun Chadami, because he holds that once it's on its way down, it's as if it landed already. Okay? That's going to Rabbi Akiva. This is me. I'm Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, nah. Well, Chiyav Rabbi Akiva, L.A. Day, we should see Yachid Shnir. Rabbi Akiva is only Mechayev if it went from one Rishus HaYachid through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into another Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But he did not say Klutik Mishun Chadami in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And the reason for that, why would you not say Klutik Mishun Chadami in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Obviously, why not? Because what does Kluta mean? Kluta. Let's America's Klita.
Concentration.
No, not concentration. It's a machinery cruise. No, no. Absorption center. Absorption center. Didn't they teach you about America's Klita and the Opa? I live in America's Klita for a year. I know what they are. So, you go. So, what does absorb mean? What takes in?
The object.
The walls. You can't have absorption in Rishus HaRabim. Because there are no walls. Kluta! It's got to be kalut. It's got to be absorbed. This is Rishus HaRabim. There ain't no way for this to get absorbed over here. Get absorbed in the middle of the walls. Okay, that's the saying. Rabbi Akiva said, "Klutik mishun chadami meant because Rosh Hashanah Yachid threw Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into another Rosh Hashanah Yachid. There's no klut on Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Okay, makes sense, right? I just made that up, but it sounds good.
Except there are walls what? That separate. I was wondering, you were assuming that klut means wall.
Yes. What else could it mean?
Rosh
Hashanah. No. That's what the Rabbi. That's what Rav Huna is saying. I grant you, it's possible to say differently, but Rav Huna, when Rav Huna is saying, Rav Huna, he means, because there's no klut unless there's Rosh Hashanah Yachid.
Except if you have
Rosh Hashanah
Rabbim separated by two Rosh Hashanah of Yachid, you're going to have walls on either side of the Rosh Hashanah.
That's still not walls, because they're not halachic walls, otherwise it wouldn't be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim by definition. But it doesn't do any good. Okay? Right. That's why I got confused, because this is the next case. You say Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you throw above 10 tefachim. So Roim, we look at it. Shimtip, then he remembers. Roim Shimtipo, if when he remembers, it's in a spot that if it would fall, it would fall within 4 amas of the spot where it began, which means it didn't traverse enough distance yet. Potter. Vimlav, if not, however, if it's in the airspace already, even though it's above 10 tefachim, it's not in the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but it's more than 4 amas away, so you're chayiv. Why? Because were it to fall then, or gravity to pull it down, so then it would be already 4 amas, so therefore you're chayiv. Okay? Vatani Shmuel, didn't Shmuel teach us when you're throwing from one Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into another Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rosh Hashanah Yachid b'emtzer Rosh Hashanah Yachid in the middle between the two, roim shim tipol nacha besoch adalat amos potter. Look at if it would fall within those 4 amos, you're exempt. Vimlav, and if not chayav, if not you're chayav. So.
I forgot what the significance of this is. Just a second.
Yeah. What it means is like this: if you're going from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and if you're going from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and your trajectory went over 10 tefachim. We always look at where it would land on the ground. There's more, how can you say this? Where Shmuel said, although it's not clear in the Gemara, the way the Korban Eid explains it, you have here Mr. Zuger. You have here Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Then in the middle you have a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Then you have another Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Then you threw a ball. The ball must go 4 amos in the trajectory before it hits the Rosh Hashanah Yachid.
What's the third of
airspace? You can't join, even though Star Rosh Hashanah Rabbim ends the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you can't join the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim before with the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim after the Rosh Hashanah Yachid in the middle. It doesn't work. You can't join the two. So ask the Gemara, if over there you can't join the two, how over here do you say that even right now, even though it's in a Malkum Tour, it's as if it's on the ground? You can't join, just like you can't join the Rosh Hashanah on the other side, the Rosh Hashanah on this side, because there's a neutral zone in the middle, right, which is a Yochid. So through here, at the height of its trajectory, when you remembered, it's outside of Rosh Hashanah Rabim. It's in a neutral zone. It's a Mokum Tor, because above that fog is a Mokum Tor. So how can we Mechayev him when it falls back down to the ground? Right? Even fell down to the ground, since there was a Mokum Tor interruption in the middle, too bad. Right? So that's Gemara's question, okay? Says what Tama? No, that's different. Tama Amar Atamar in Rosh Hashanah it's the refus. There you have an interruption of Rosh Hashanah on the ground, because what's on the ground in between the two Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, the meters got to start ticking four amas over again once you get to the other side of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. You can't join that which is on one side of Rosh Hashanah Yochid to the other side, which is Rosh Hashanah Yochid. You can't join that with that which is on the one side of Rosh Hashanah Yochid with that which is on the other side of Rosh Hashanah Yochid, because it's broken up by the Rosh Hashanah Yochid in the middle. But here, the entire trajectory was over Rosh Hashanah Rabim. The Rosh Hashanah Rabim was not broken up. It's just a question of did it traverse a far enough distance over that Rosh Hashanah Rabim. And the force of gravity indicates to us, the force of gravity indicates that even though it's in the air, the fact that it will fall means that we don't care that right now it's in a Malkum Tour. Okay? So it's a very basic difference. This, again, the difference is on the ground, the Rosh Hashanah Yochid on the ground breaks it up. But in the air, the Rosh Hashanah Rabim is continuous. Hi! The ball now is above the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So what? Since it's all that which comes up must come, goes up, must come down. So therefore, eventually, going to fall, and therefore, it's considered all to be the status of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim below it on the ground. The only way the Mokum Tur be taken account is if it would actually land on something above the 10th Fachim. Okay? Says Gemara. If seven lands above 10 Tvachim, yeah, similar idea, yes. Okay? Says Mavachat Amrav Chuna. Amrav Chuna, Tamon Shim Tipo Kaka Shetachte Rosh Hashanah Yochid. I'm not sure exactly the difference between what Rav Chuna is saying and what we said before. But he says over there, where if it would fall in the middle, the land underneath the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. But I'm Hacha, but here, in our case, Shim Tipo, anywhere it falls, Kaka Shetachte Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So there must be some difference between the previous answer and this answer, that the previous answer spoke about Itzdarfus and the interruption, and this answer speaks about the status on the ground, but essentially they seem very similar to me, and I'm absolutely too lazy to figure out what exactly the difference between the two is. Time Shem Rabbi, let's say Rabbi Yudah. Zorek Dal Ram Shusar Rabim Chayiv. If you throw something for Ram Shusar Rabim, you're Chayiv. Right, it seems obvious, right? Says Rabbi Yudah of Adar Am Shusar Rabim. This is the Chiddush. Rabbi Yudah says Arab Am Shusar Rabim is Melacha Bifnei Atzma. It's a 40th Melacha. If it's a 40th Melacha, Adai do I read a Mem Melacha? Why does it say only 39? It should be 40. V'nisnin, and let's mention this 40th Melacha of Zrika, or of throwing for Amos. Says my last seen a misnai the milin ella milin the chama moidi ben the mishu which numerate the melachos only numerate the melachos which are universally accepted. Rabbi Zion, Rabbi Yishim, Rabbi Yochanan said, how does Rabbi know there's such an additional melacha called Zrika Daud Amos? Itayfi Ariel Slomad Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda learned from the people who used to weave the curtains in the Mishkan, Shayu Tofa Yerias, the people used to weave the curtains, were Mizakin and Smachatin El, they would toss their sewing needles to each other, and that was more for Amos, and therefore that was a Malacha. Says the Gemara, I don't stand. Below the Carmeli Soyah. Now, the Gemara, the way in the Siddur originally is that the throwing is like you throw the shuttle in the loom, and it's between the strands of thread. So the strands of thread, you ain't throwing Rosh Hashanah Rabim, you're throwing in a Carmelis at best, right? So how can you say it's a Malacha the right? Right between the strands, only the rabbanon, not the raisa at best. So says the Gemara, "I'm Rabbi China binatzari umazarki." No, they didn't toss through the curtains they were weaving, but rather around them, and they tossed through Rosh Hashanah, and that's how he learns out the melacha of caring for Rosh Hashanah. Okay, next mishnah, Ketzad. How do we say that the melacha of Moshe occurs? Again, if you have the gears of Ketzad, then you know that it's coming to explain for his Mishnah, this is all subsumed under Moshe, it's extending. How so? Shnei Gezerot Sukkot Negezu B'Shusha Rabim. You have two balconies, one opposite the other, and just a rabbi. Hamoishid vazoyeg mizulazu potur. Somebody extends or throws something from one to the other, he's exempt because they're not on the same side of the street. They're both on the same side of the street. Hamoishid chayav. Somebody who extends is chayav, right? Because that's like they did in the midbar. Vazori potter, somebody throws his potter. Shkachai saw about a slim, that's a levim who work in the desert. Shtego zuach rozu, there would be two wagons, one behind the other, and b'shusa rabim. Moshitin esak choshim izulazu, they would extend the beams from one to the other. Avalo zarki, but they would not throw the beams. Right? Chuya sabor vasela. If you have the, cavity. Chulia's the cavity. The cavity of the bore, and the cella, and a rock around the rim, that all together they're 10 fachim high, right from the base of the pit to the height of its rim. You take into account the whole cavity, right? So that makes 10 fachim, that's 10 fachim. Ruchavin arba, they're 4x4 fachim wide. Hanoitam answer, he takes from them, Hanoitam puts on them, right? Chayev. Supposed to be kind of its less than those dimensions, potter, you're exempt. Okay? Rav Amar lo leiskam potter ela mutter. Now, Rav said a very fundamental thing. He said when it says here potter, it means mutter. When it says potter in our Mishnah, Hamoshi vazork mizulazu potter, he meant this, it means really mutter. Okay? If you have two balconies, one each side of Shuzarabim, you can play catch over Shabbos. Mutter can't play catch on Shabbos, right? Even without an eruv,
it's only the balconies are more than two.
Off the ground, right? Okay, says Mark. Al daiti the Rav lemal me'asol lemute. According to Rav above that, fachim it's mutter. Al daiti the Shmuel lemal me'asol also. According to Shmuel, it is a drabonet. Right, we learned that before. Reish Shmuel said it's a rabbanon. There's a shita, Rabbi Akiva, in the first mission, it's even is a daraisa above 10 tefachim, because our goals are above 10 tefachim. But according to Shmuel, it's even at least it's a rabbanon. And now, Rabbi Ila b'shem Rishim Elokim said, when do you have nisur moishet v'ushet tehei rishusarai makilfato makfasol mikolzad? Now, I'm not sure what he does with the Mishnah, but he says the balcony is going to be surrounded by rishusarai on all sides. I don't know how you can figure that scenario because the balcony seems to be coming in off a house. But he says it's got to be surrounded by Rishus HaRabim on all sides. So actually what it is really two pillars of Rishus HaRabim, you know, like two lookout towers, one next to each other. So it says, how does he know that? So now, if you look a line below this, you see the three words mean Elain Agolos? You see those? From those wagons, you see that in the next line, those three words? Put them here. Two or three words. Me and Elaine are goals. Okay? I realize that you have to move things around by looking at all the Mefarshim here, who all move things around, but this is really my proposal. No, it's things are out of order here. Something's wrong. Things are right. But this specific order, which I'm telling you, is my specific order. So that's the great thing about Yerushalmi. He probably can't never get to tamper with the Gemara. The Yerushalmi, now that I get to do it once, I get to do it twice tonight. Okay, as you will see later. Says Rabbi Yaakov Baracho b'shem Rabbi Yochanan says, I feel now. Okay, so that's Rabbi Shimon Lokish, because he learns out from that goes. Rabbi Yaakov Baracho b'shem Rabbi Yochanan said, I feel me ruach achas. As long as you have Rishus HaRabim on one side, you still Chai Moshe. Of course, you need Rishus HaRabim on one side, because otherwise it'd be no Malacha. Because Malacha is to pass from one Rishus HaYochid over Rishus HaRabim to the other Rishus HaYochid, right? So you need to have Rishus HaRabim at least one side, but not on the other side. Hi, you learned that. What about the wagons? Talk of the wagons were islands of Rishus HaYochid surrounded by Rishus HaRabim. So Rabbi Shimon Lokish is correct. Doesn't want to know. What's Rabbi Yechon say about Golos? Lav Lamalam Yasar Inun. Or weren't the wagons above 10 Tvachim? Okay? What does it mean? Weren't the wagons above 10 tefachim? It means that above 10 tefachim, there's no such thing as being surrounded by Rishus HaRabim. Why above 10 tefachim is not no such thing as being surrounded by Rishus HaRabim? Right, because there is no Rishus HaRabim above 10 tefachim. So he says, you're all right, Rabbi Shimon Reish Lokish, you are right, it's from the wagons, right? That the wagons were surrounded by Rishus HaRabim. What were the wagons surrounded by? Malcolm Tour. Right? So that's what he's saying. Since the wagons are... What? Why not according to Rav?
Because he said, that's what I read before. He says everything is a Rishos Yochanan. Because Rishos Yochanan, like a Rishos Yochanan, continues straight up except for the land. So it's not
Surah. Ooh. I guess I have to disagree with you.
Because Robson, yeah. I take back my agreement with you from before.
Okay.
No, but it's not just because I like my shot here. That might have been enough of a reason, but that's not why. No, look at the first line of the Gemara. Rav Amar Leis Kam Potzer Lamutzer. Al Daiti Rav Lamal Miasora Mutzer. Quite the Rav, the Malacha Moshe doesn't apply above 10 Tefachim.
It corresponds to all the mitzvahs.
Even if you're Zorakit. Even if you toss from balcony to balcony, there's no itzer moshe. You might be able to kvetch out of it, but you're going to have to kvetch. Okay? So it sounds like it's above 10 fucking, it's considered to be a mokum tour, even going to Rav. Okay? I know you can kvetch out of it, but like I said, I think it's easier the way I'm saying it. So, but even, so says Gemara. So there's no Rishus HaRabim there. So therefore, says Rabbi Yechonon, you don't need to have any more than one side Rishus HaRabim. And of course, on that side, you need Rishus HaRabim, because otherwise the Malacha doesn't exist, right? Because you have to pass from a Rishus HaYochid in the airspace above 10 Tefachim, which is above Rishus HaRabim, which he would argue is a Rishus HaRabim, right? But in any event, above that airspace to the next Rishus HaYochid on the other side, okay? Rabbi Acha bar B'shem Rabbi Masha said, very interesting thing, says, in order to be Chayav HaMoshe, it takes two to tango. Why is that? Because how many Levim did it take to carry a beam? Two, one to pass it to the other one. So it says more of an interesting thing, a simple observation, but an interesting one. All over Teire, you said if two people did a Meloche, they're Potter. Yet here it's saying that two people did it together, a chayim. What? You know, that's interesting, because I think not, because Levim, with Bavli, says are very strong. So each one was Zayyachov, Zayyachov, because otherwise, Rishami should have answered Zayyachov, Zayyachov, but it doesn't answer that. So it says the Gemara, Shaniyu, Shekach Yisrael Avodis Levim Bo'amoid. Here it's different. Because that was the way the Levim worked. If you have two wagons, one behind the other, they had two wagons, one behind the other, standing in a public domain, they would extend their beings from one to the other in line in order to line them up. Of course, they wouldn't throw them. Why not? Because it's a bizoyan to throw the beams. Okay? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ha'omed v'achalo, it's tarfim barbo. An omed and chalo joined together for to make four tefachim." Now this sounds kind of cryptic. What it, in the Bible this is called omed and parutz. In other words, in order to make four tefachim, how much do you have of really omed? 4x4. In order to make 4x4, how much do you really have to have? 2.1 by 2.1. Right? Can have airspace the rest of it, right? 2.1 by 2.1, because Oymed Merula Parts is sufficient, right? The Bavli said even Oymed Kipparts is sufficient, even if it's 2 on 2, 2 and 2, but here it's, Yushama seems to be saying at least here that you need Oymed Merula Parts. Okay? Vushayah Oymed, because as it says, Vushayah Oymed Rabba Lachalab. It's got to be more standing structure than there is open space. Rabbi Zira Boy, Rabbi Zira asked, does it have to be depict this in your mind's eye? 1.5 structure, 1 tefach open in the middle. That's Oymer Uporitz, right? It's 3 against 1, right? Is that the way it has to look? They need to have on both sides of the porutz omed, more omed. In other words, the omed on each side there is itself greater than the porutz. Is that the way it has to be? That's his question. Is anybody actually omed shibakan? Omed shibakan, Rabbi? Says more. Rabbi Yisin said, "Pshita Rabbi Zira, she ain't omed mitzarechod mitzdarif." Mitzdarev says Liebman means you're like Mahani. In other words, if it's just, say, on one side, chveis, 2, and the other side, 0.5, and in the middle you have an opening of 1.5. Rabbi Zira says, for sure that's no good. Ha, you have oimim rube, but there, on one side, the oimid is smaller than the parutz, right? Because the oimid is only 0.5, and the parutz is 1. That's for sure no good, right? Pshitole, not only that, he holds even that, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. That's the next thing. Pshitole, Rabbi Zira, sheinu oimid tzadeh mitzadeh means that if it's not merube, if it's not merube, if it's 2 and 2, right? If it's parts omed, it's no good for sure, right? That's pashut. Not only that, it's also pashut, like I just told you, she'en oimed mitzadeh rabba, that if you have oimed, no, I was wrong again. The three cases are like this. Sorry. The three cases are, it's pashut him that 2 and 2, 2 omed and 2 parts is no good. It's even pashut to him that if you have one,
if it's, you can't have 2 and 2, because you need 2 sides of omed, and in the middle you need parts.
Okay. It's pashut to him that, divide, let's make it easier, not a case of 4, let's make it divide in 3. If you have, if you have 6, right, and you have 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, that's no good. Okay, that's oimed kiparutz.
Yeah.
Okay. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1 is not good because oimed kiparutz. Now pshitule she'en oimed tzadeh rabba, and it's also pashut for him that. That if you have oimim rubla parutz on one side, that's not good.
If he did not merit to use his money,
first case is
he did not merit good fortune to use his money
than each side of.
No, that's pasha. It's no good.
If a person gives tzedakah money, he will merit it. If he had to lose his
larger
money,
than each side,
the money will go for
the
tzedakah.
But the omeid, the two sides of
if
the omeid together,
does not merit.
See, Lieberman says that that's the last case. I know. I try and learn it like Lieberman because Carbonate has to change the girsa, and Lieberman tries to get away with it without changing the girsa. Carbonate changes the gears in the second case. See, he changes the last line. Pshitle shehei omeim tzadeh merum. Instead of pshitle shehei, he changes to shehei. Let's try drawing it.
Your money will go to not good.
Let's try it like this. Pshitle Rabbi Zeir, let's do it again. Pshitle Rabbi Zeir, she'ein oimed mitzadeh mitzdarev. Omeid from one side is not sufficient. Meaning, well, let's try it the way I did it before. Let's say that you have here 2.
You did good in Ruchnia, so you're Zocha, right?
And here you have 1.9. And here you have just something at the corner, right?
Mazel Tov coming to you.
So he says that that's no good.
Why?
Because in this case you have oimed mitzad echad. I should try 2 and 2. In this case it's 2 and 2, and that's no good because that's oimed kiparutz. Okay. Even though Bavli says this is good, the Bavli says 2 and 2 is good. The Yerushalmi holds. Well, that's it. That's my 4. Okay, so this is no good according to the Yerushalmi. You need to have 1, 1, 1, and 1 is no good. Okay? So this is also four, and it's Oymid Kipparit. That's the first thing. Pshidu Ezer Shein Oymid Tzad Echad Mid Starif. Oymid Tzad Echad, which is equivalent, is not good. Pshidu Ezer Shein Oymid Tzad Echad Rabba. And it's even Boshetim. Let's say you did on this side 2.5, and over here you had 1.5. That's also no good. Mr. Zuru, can you see? This is also no good. Right? Because here it's mitzad echad. His shaila is when it's mitut stadim, right? Here, let's say you have 1.75 in the middle. And here you have on each side, you have here 1.25 and 1.5. No, that won't be enough.
That's 3 total.
No, it's 1.375, I think. What's an eighth? 325. 1.325 and 1.325. I think that should work. Is that not correct?
Yeah, so 1 3 8 is 1 3 6 8 is 2 3/4, and you have 1 1/4 on the inside, and 1 1/4.
No, I have 1 3/4. What is it?
Oh, whatever. We get
that. You're so bad at math. It's so embarrassing. 4 minus 1.75 is 2.25.
Getting embarrassed.
Well, I'm still embarrassed. It's 1.125 and 1.125. Okay, so that should be enough, right? Because together it's over 2, right? It's 2.5, and it should overcome the 1.75. But his shaila is, the Rabbi Zira's shaila is, maybe this is not sufficient. Maybe we need to have oymim ruba on each side in order for it to work. So it's here, each oymid by itself is not as low, is less than the paruts. Maybe we need oymid on each side in order for it to be valid. That's a shaila. Okay, so again, the first thing he said, it's pashut, that 2 and 2 is no good. It's even pashut that 2.5 on one side and 1.5 on the other side, and 1.5 open are no good. Need oymid mishteit stadim. The shaila is not oymid mishteit stadim, is sufficient that together they overcome the parts in the middle, or you need to have... Or you need to have on each one of these oymid that it should be more than the parts in the middle. Let's see that inside again. Pshidu Rabbi Zeir she'ein oymid mitzad echad mitzdarif. 2 and 2 is not good. Pshidu Rabbi Zeir she'ein oymid mitzad echad merabe. Even if you have 2.5 and 1.5, that's not good. Lo tzurcha da ella. His shaila is only afilu oymid hasheni. If you have oymid on the other side, right? You have two oymidim. The shaila is whether each one of these oymdim has to be bigger than the middle, or can the sum total thereof equal bigger than the middle, and that's sufficient. Okay? Says more further. Now the Professor Lieberman says on the next Gemara that this is one of the most difficult Gemaras in all of the Yerushalmi. But it's not. Once you fix up the gear, so it's easy. Chuyas HaBor V'Asela, which he does for us. Chuyas HaBor V'Asela. By the way, the Mashbiach is very spotty in Shabbos. It really, it only crops up, I guess, think at the end of Masechta, it crops up more, but these blahs, just every, you know, it wasn't nowhere as near as comprehensive as Roim, or almost every hard sugi he tackles. Chuyas HaBor V'Asela. Shein Gvoina, sorry. You have a, the cavity of the boar.
Nobody's going to give him back.
And the stone on top of the rim. Shein gvoin asor, if they're 10 tefachim high, u'chavin arba, and they're 4 tefachim wide, so that's okay. However, the end of the Mishnah said, pachos mikam potter, if it's less than that, you're potter.
So he doesn't believe in Hashem.
Ma'an kayam, he asked Yushalmi, what are you talking about? Im bigvoin. Now, here's where Lieberman comes in. Take out the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words. Okay, take out those 8 words. So it should be im bigvoin, and he has a ksav yad, which proves it. Im bigvoin asara, if it's 10 tefachim high, I skip the first asara. I skip to the next place where it said asara. Okay, it's a mistake. Im bigvoin asara, ve'einan rechavin arba, if they're 10 tefachim high, and not 4 tefachim wide, which is the, is that the alternate case in the Mishnah? And that the Mishnah is saying potter because it's not a bona fide with Shusa Yachi, but rather what is it? If you have a boar which is 10 tefachim high but not 4 by 4 tefachim, what is that really? Welcome to her. So if that's the case, and that's the case the Mishnah is talking about, Isn't that the same thing which Rav Chista wrote, B'shem Isi, in the name of Isi, you have a stick in Rishus Harabim, which is 10 Tvachim high, but not 4 by 4 Tvachim high, because it's a stick. Mutar Lekan and Mutar Lekan. It's permissible for both the Rishus Rabbi to make use of that stick and Rishus Yachid to make use of that stick. Uvavad, there's only Xayed Rabban and Shlo Yachid. So you shouldn't take something from Rishus Yachid, put it on that Mokum Tor, and then take it into Rishus Rabbi. He's going to be the right that loophole does exist. Rabbanon, close that loophole. But in any event, the problem is like this. Rav Chista was a what? He was an Amoira. And if our Mishnah story about a Mokum Tor and saying a Mokum Tor, Pachas Mikan is a Mokum Tor. Then Rav Chista telling us that a kana is makom tur. He's telling us what the Mishnah is telling us. It's totally redundant and superfluous there. So there must be Rav Chista and the Mishnah are saying two different things. So what's talking? What's the Mishnah talking about? Elakein anu kayami. Our Mishnah is talking about a case. They're not four tefachim wide. Okay, b'shein lo rochavim arba, they're not four tefachim wide, v'lo gvan asara, nor are they ten tefachim high. Where they're not four tefachim wide, nor are they ten tefachim high. So the one doesn't like that either, although it's not explicit here, that the way Lieberman in type interprets it, he says, Elkein okayim b'sheinim lo rochavim arba, v'lo gvan asara,
if
not, the client are going to come and
they're going to take it forcefully. All right. Forget about that, Lieber. I'm not going to use it. Let's scratch it. Go
better without it. So says what? Okay, what are we talking about over here? B'sheim lo rechavim above lo gvayin asar. It must be, in order that it shouldn't be the same case of Rav Chista. It's talking about a case where it's not 4 by 4, nor is it 10 tefachim high. But Rav Chista is talking about a case where it's 10 tefachim high. Our Mishnah is talking about where it's less than 4 by 4 and less than 10. Wait a minute. B'lochin amar chia braid the rab. Didn't Rav Chia braid rab say, koma akiv drisa b'rishus harabi nikor karmelis. In other words, if that's what it is, that is, if it's less than 4 by 4 and less than 10, so what is it? It's a stump. It's an impediment in the Rishus HaRabim. If it's an impediment in Rishus HaRabim, what's the status of impediment in Rishus HaRabim? It's a carmelis. That's what we just said. The lochein amar abichia braid rab komaki drisa b'shus harabim. Anything which is an impediment to walking smoothly with shus harabim, nikra karmelis. It's called a karmelis. If it's called a karmelis, so how can you say it's mutter to carry from the shus harabim to the karmelis? Rab said way back at the beginning of our gemara, leis kam poter ela mutter. They allowed to carry from the shus harabim into this into the pachas mikan. Right? Into the thing which is less than the proper shear. Rabbi Yochanan says immediately, that was Rav about the motion. Rabbi Yochanan's going to say in a moment that you're allowed to carry from the Shus HaRabim to this place which is Pachas Mikan. You're allowed. It's mutter. But if it's a karmelis, it's also, we know you're not allowed to carry from Shus HaRabim to a karmelis. Not to carry from Shus HaRabim to a karmelis, nor from a karmelis to a Shus HaYochanan, nor vice versa. So if that's the case, how can you say, well, again, we have a difficulty in our Mishnah. What does it mean, Pachas Mikan? Is a karmelis, Pachas Mikan mean it's a karmelis? You're not allowed to carry a karmelis either. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yudon. Rabbi Yudon said, Rabbi Chia Brei the Rab said that the impediment Shus HaRabim is a karmelis. Here's a big typo. The Gilian Ashatz points it out. Is Minatzad. It's on the side of Shus HaRabim. Avoba emtza, but if it's the middle of Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim batlos, Rishus HaRabim cancels it. There's a fascinating concept which is brought down in the contemporary Eruf that says that if you have, it's brought down in Halacha, that if you have a karmelis in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, you'd say motza min esmino. Motza min esmino. What does motza min esmino mean? Right, likes attract. There's no karmelis in the middle of Rishus HaRabim. There can only be a karmelis on the side of Rishus HaRabim. That's why it would be mutter to carry from the Rishus HaRabim to the karmelis. Of course, it's all the Rabbanan. right? Because the Raisa, you're allowed to carry from a Karmelis to Rishus HaRabim and vice versa. It's Rabban Raisa. But in the Karmelis of Mil Rishus HaRabim, we'd say Matzah Minas Mino. It's so similar. The Rabbanu just gave it a status of Rishus HaRabim. They gave it a status of Rishus HaRabim. In this case, it's a Kula. Because in this case, it means then you can carry, as long as it's less than four amos, from the Rishus HaRabim into the Karmelis, from the Karmelis to Rishus HaRabim. And that's what our Mishnah means to say. Pachas Mikan is Mutar. If we said, if it's 10 by 4 by 4, it's awesome. If it's less than that, it's Mutar. So the first one would say, well, less than that is Mutar because it's a Malkum Tur. But then we had a problem because it's Rav Chista's Chiddush that a Malkum Tur you're allowed to carry into Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid and vice versa. It can't be our Mishnah because then Rav Chista has nothing to be Mechadish. So now we come and we say, no, Ein Echanami. It's talking about not only where it's less than 4 by 4, but it's also less than 10. If that's the case, it's a Karmelis. And a Karmelis is Viter, not Mutzah, to carry to Rishus HaRabim. I thought you brought Chia Brei the Rav, who said, there is no Karmelis in Rishus HaRabim, middle of Rishus HaRabim. Why is that? Because the principle of Mutzah Minas Mino, and that's you carry from the Rishus HaRabim to the Karmelis, and vice versa. Okay? On Rabbi Yochanan, that's Rabbi Yochanan said, Leis Kam Potter Elo Mutzah. You're allowed to carry from the Rishus HaRabim onto the stump. Okay. Now, once we brought down that this potter means mutter, we know there are a couple other places in Chas like that. Talmud here learned the Masech Teidios. Hamapis Mursa B'Shabbos, to lance a blister on Shabbos. Im Lassos L'Apef, you're doing it in order to make an opening, make a doorway, so to speak, to the blister. Chayev. Chayev Chattas. Im Loitzim Menor Lecha, if you're doing it in order to get out the moisture, to get out the pus, potter, you're exempt. And on that also, on Rabbi Yochel, Leis Kam Potter L'Mutter. We just brought that in the Bavli as well. That you're allowed, L'Chadchila, to go and lance your blister on Shabbos. Not just Potter, Avalosser, but it's Mutter. Similarly, Talmud Yemi looked over there, Hatzad Nachash B'Shabbos, somebody who runs down a snake on Shabbos, Imi Satzik Shlo Yishchan, if you're cutting it down, in order that it shouldn't bite you, Potter. Vim L'Fru, if you're doing it for medicine, Chayev. I'm Rabbi Yochanan said, Leis Kam Potter L'Mutter. When it says you're Mutter to do it in order that it shouldn't bite you, when it says Potter, it means Mutter. You're allowed to do it either because of Sakana or because of Melach Hashem Tzuchel Gufa, or because you're not doing it in order to capture it, but rather to remove the danger from you. So in any event, there it means Mutter. Talmud, we learned it over there as well, and this is just brought down Derech Agav. It's totally irrelevant to our sugya. Valafasim Aronios, a certain type of vessel. Certain type of clay vessel or something like that. Shein Torah Bo'ol Ameis, they're Torah if they are in the tent of a dead with a dead body. Utmeis Ma'asazam, their tummy if his love carries them. It's not material to us. Now, I'm Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira says V'yos. Rabbi Yochanan said it's good. Now, I want you to know, all the Mefarshim, none of them understand this line. Let's go crazy over this line. What does it mean? So, needless to say, me being stubborn. And I didn't like Lieberman's pshat. He gives a pshat, but I don't like it. I didn't like the Stipler's son's pshat either. So I sat and stared at this for a long time today. Until I finally came up with something, and I think it's pretty good. Of course I would think it's very good, right? All right, Zira said, Vios, I bring you internal raya that what Rabbi Yochanan said mutter is true. Now, I'm going to make one gear to change here. It says, Im l'tzorech, you have to change that Im l'hotzi mutter. In other words, Yost, that which Rabbi Yochanan said, that im lahotzi, mean if you your tetis get out the pus, that it's mutter, even though it says potter, then it means mutter. How can I prove that? Because if I understand that when it says to take out the pus, it means not just potter, but mutter, how does ninan im l'refu l'chayev? Then I understand why by a snake it says that if you're doing it for refu, you're chayev. Now, what does it mean for refu? Said by a snake, if you take it in the refuah chayv, it means
taking out the poison to use it for like a
serum, yeah. Right? But it's strange, says the Rabbi Yuzira. This is my interpretation. Strange, says Rabbi Zira. There are a whole bunch of other reasons you can want a snake and be chayv. For instance, snake skin. It's a precious commodity, right? Who knows why you want to get the snake? Maybe you want the meat. Who knows why you want it?
Yeah, but it follows the sugya of taking out the pus for
it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, if you understand that the previous sugya said mutter, right? The previous sugya meant to say mutter, so that's why now we have to come and clarify. Don't think that there's a heter to do things for a fua. You might come to the conclusion, That's mutter. Must mean that anything done for the purpose of refuah is mutter on Shabbos. That's why we have to emphasize to you that here, even if you're doing it for refuah, it's chayev. Right? Be careful. Don't think that refuah is after. But if before, it was anyway just putter, but not actually mutter, the people are not going to make the mistake and think refuah is a heter. So therefore, why choose to highlight the concept of refuah? Just say that if it's litzorech, it's aser, no matter no matter what the tzorech is. So the emphasis on refuah here, says Rabbi Zira, is clearly to counterbalance the heter on refuah previously. Again, the heter was given before in Lahoti Mimena Leicha Mutter. So I might think, any refuah on Shabbos, carte blanche to do whatever malach I want. That's why I have to emphasize that sometimes refuah is not, sometimes refuah is not just not mutter, it's chayev mamish. But if before was anyway Potter Avalosser, not Mutter, so then here there's no reason for the Mishnah to make this step of emphasizing that for Nochash Lerfuah is Chayiv. Say any Tzorech is Chayiv. So it must be that this is coming to counterbalance what it said previously.
Except the Gemara did distinguish between taking out the fluid of the blister,
yes,
just to remove the fluid versus to remove it for a Refuah. They said.
No, versus to remove. No. Take out the fluid versus to making a door.
Yeah, but you make.
But the Hoti Menelech is also as a refuah. That's also a refuah. It's just that if you're making a door out of it, then you're chayav because that we say is bona, right? But I might say that that's only if by the snake, as long as you're doing it for refuah, which, and you're not being bona, of course, it's a question of tzad, so then I might say it's mutter as well, right? Because who knows? It's, that could be, again, I'm lakshay tzich l'gufa. That's really the heter. If you're taking out the pus, lohotzi yemen alecho, if you're making the opening or lohotzi yemen alecho, the reason why it's mutter is because I'm lakshay tzich l'gufa. And Chazal didn't make a takona by lakshay tzich l'gufa that it's aser, b'mokum tzar, where it's a makom refuah. So I might say that tzad also, if I'm capturing the animal for the purpose of refuah, it's mutter as well, right? That's why the Gemara emphasized that refuah is not carte blanche answer. But again, if before I would have just said potter, so then the Gemara should, then there's no room for the Mishnah to come along later and emphasize refuah. It should just say generically, whatever you're doing, l'torach, as long as you're not doing it in order to fend off the snake, then it's chayiv. But I think, again, that the purpose of refuah being stressed is to highlight the difference between this, which is chayiv, and the previous case, which is mutter. Hevei leiskan potter ela mutter. So it must be that the case of lahotzi mimeno lecha is mutter, and that's why later on the Mishnah had to counterbalance that by stressing that by a snake refuah is chayiv, and that makes sense that why we chose refuah instead of saying for any tzorech. Okay? That's all I wanted to tie Chumsa Gemara. Believe me, after having seen all the other pshatim, I think this is the smoothest. It's still very rough because it doesn't flow well. It's not I don't know. By me, it's not a great proof. But all the other pshatim here seem very difficult. Okay, halacha gimel. Hazorik daud amos b'koisel. Somebody who throws four amos on a wall, l'malo mi'asor tfachim, above 10 tfachim, kazorik ba'avir. It's as if he's throwing in the air. It's landing in a makom tur. It's adhering to the side of the wall. As the I don't know if we'll get this now, but the Ushami says the same thing the Bavli says. It's a tvela shmeina, right? It's a fat date which sticks to the side of the wall. So it's landing in a makom tur, your potter. Lamati mesor tefachim, you throw and it lands on the wall within 10 tefachim, the ground, because it's as if it landed on the ground and you are chayev. Vazoik bar, it's taud amos. You throw on the ground, four amos, chayev. Zorik l'toch da'ar amos, so if you threw something four amos away, hit the ground, and he's galg, and then it rolled chutz l'da'ar amos. Potter, because your original throwing was only up to within less than four amos. Whatever, vice versa, chutz l'da'ar amos, you threw it beyond four amos, and he's galg l'toch da'ar amos, again, rolled back into da'ar amos, then you're chayv. Says the Mar Masnisin, Shein Shom Chor, our Mishnah story where there's no hole in the wall. Aviv Shom Chor, but if it went into a hole in the wall, so then it's machlokas harmei v'chachamim. It's malus harmei v'chachamim of chokim l'hashlim. Remember the arch, whether we make an additional size in the arch. So koner meir, al-daiter meir, bein sheish ba'arba, bein she'ein ba'arba, whether the hole is four tvachim or not, bein sheish b'dal dalad, bein she'ein b'dal dalad, roes the kosel k'gomim. We look at the holes. If it has a 4x4 hole at that level there, and therefore you threw from Rishus HaRabim not onto a Mokum Tur, but onto a Rishus HaYochi. Because I look at it as if there's actually a platform there in the wall, just 4x4. Al Daitin Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, you know what? Oh, no. According to me, we don't say Chokim Lashmin. Well, you do say Chokim Lashmin. We go out and see the Kigomu. Al Daitin Rabbanon, they say Ein Chokim Lashlim, right? Im Yesh Bo Arba Abad Rose Kotz Kigomu. If it's 4x4, then it's not that it is Kigomu. It's as if it's Kigomu, but it's a Mamish Gomu. In that case, you chai because it landed on Rishus HaYochid. Vim La, but if not, if there isn't 4x4 there, you do not look at the wall as if it is. You don't say chokim lashim in the wall. Rather, the walls are guarded kisosum, and therefore you're exempt. So even though it landed in a small hole, it's still considered a mokum tur according to Rabbanan, unless it's actually a 4x4 tefach ledge above 10 tefachim there on the wall. All right, we'll stop here for tonight.